Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
So Van Halen bringing us back 23 after the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and my websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and the one for my book, The Age of the Customer, is ageofthecustomer.com. Sarah Heiner's our guest. She's the president, CEO of Bottom Line Publications. Sarah, I need a website, please.
Bottomlinepersonal.com. They can go there. They can read our information. They can click over to our store, see all of our stuff that they
subscribe.
Can
subscribe.
And subscribe.
Subscribe.
Yes,
got to do that, folks. I'm telling you, this is a jewel of a publication. I love mine, and this Bottom Line Your book is absolutely, talk about a coffee table book that won't stay on your coffee table long. The 2016's out, so check all that out at the website, bottomlinepersonal.com, right?
Yes, and if they go to the store and put in the promo code RADIO, they'll get 20% off.
Ooh, give them, yeah, get my discount there, folks, so be sure to do that. Thank you, and thank you for that, Sarah. Okay, let's wrap up real quick. There's one more thing to say about when you turn 65 on and you're working, you're an employer, or you have employees to help them with this. Whether you should go on Social Security, on Medicare, or whether you should stay on the employer plan, you told us in the last segment that when you turn 65, the government expects you to sign up for Medicare, but if you've got a policy you want to stick with it with your employer, they'll suspend that requirement until you go off the employer's policy. But then there's some stuff with the family you want to tell us about.
Correct. Right. You have 8 months if you go off that, once you go off the policy, to then sign up for Medicare. The thing to consider if you're trying to decide if you're going to go on to Medicare or not is if you go on to Medicare, your spouse and your dependents can't be on your employer's policy anymore. So if you're going to go off and, like, your spouse is soon going to also become 65, so they'll become eligible for their own, or your dependents are, you know, they're in their first job and they're going to get insurance on their own because now your dependents can be on till they're 65, you can use COBRA, can be a kind of a bridging tactic to use for that period.
So even though it's a little expensive, it might be the right thing to do.
Correct. It'll allow you to bridge so that those family members can keep their coverage until they're ready to do whatever they're going to do.
The good news is there are steps to take to make sure you don't get hurt. So
correct.
Get some advice.
Most importantly.
Get some more advice if you need it. And, of course, you can read more about this on the Bottom Line Personal Magazine. All right, Sarah, let's move down and talk about credit score. How can we raise our credit score with one phone call?
This is the easiest thing in the world. This is such a great little tip. You know that 8 out of 10 people, if you could call your credit card company, 8 out of 10 people will get a request. If they say, hi, I'd like to raise my credit limit, then the credit card company will generally do it for you.
Hmm.
They'll say, sure, no problem. You know, assuming that your credit's been good, you're paying off your cards, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So if you do that, hi, I want to raise my credit limit, what that does, if you increase your limit, but then you don't increase the balance that you're running on.
Don't borrow more money.
Don't go borrowing more money, right? Don't just use the money. But what that does is that will reduce your credit utilization rate, which is basically your ratio of your outstanding balance.
And what I found out is that, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I've got $5,000 credit line on a card and I use $2,000 of it, that actually rates me higher than if I have a $5,000 limit and don't use any of it.
Yeah, they like to see you using your credit. They really do. Right. They like to see you exercising it.
All this time we thought, wow, you know, I'm not even using this, all this credit. Surely they'll see that how disciplined I am. That's wrong.
No, they want to see that you're able to borrow and pay back.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you never use it, then they don't see that you've got the ability to use it.
You know what, Sarah, I've got to complain about this because, seriously, there ought to be a better way for regular folks to understand how that works. There shouldn't be any kind of a little formula that nobody knows how they're doing it. It ought to be more transparent, don't you think?
Yeah, it should. You know, I mean, and it's crazy because people think that it's a good thing to be able to pay stuff off. They think it's a good thing to use cash all the time.
Yeah.
Right. But again, I will remind people, one of the worst things you can do or the most dangerous things you can do is use your debit card all the time for credit card transactions, for Visa transactions, because this is a totally separate issue, but you're not protected. And this just happened actually to a friend of my daughter's.
So
he was using his debit card all the time.
Right.
If they make a mistake or somebody steals your number, that money comes out of your bank account.
Someone steals
my Visa card number,
exactly.
They call me up, they go, they just, you know, charged $2,000 on my credit card. Well, I don't care. It didn't hit my bank account.
Right.
You know, the credit card company will reverse it. No big deal.
Mm-hmm.
If you use your debit card, that's out of your bank account. And now you have to get that back in. For all you know, you wrote other checks that are now going to bounce. You have to pay your mortgage tomorrow.
Right.
And you're really in trouble. So don't use that credit card, your debit card, for as your credit card.
Mm-hmm. That's very important. All right, so can you in 1 minute, can you do the airline thing?
Yeah, so here's the thing on airlines. A lot of airlines now, oddly, some of the airlines are starting to compete with low-priced regional airlines that have lower prices in some of the one-way routes. So some of the major carriers now, rather than when you're going to go multi-city, so like from L.A. to Denver to Dallas and back to L.A., rather than do one ticket as multi-city, check the prices on one-way tickets, three one-way tickets.
Wow.
And that often is actually cheaper than the multi-city.
And there's no problem with getting, you know, the connection and everything.
You still have to time your connections. I mean,
what about the baggage?
If you're checking bags, you know,
you probably don't want to do that.
So it's not perfect. It's not perfect. Depending on what you do. If you
something
go carry on,
to think
what
about.
That allows you to do, though, actually, is you can go multi-airline so that if, you know, United is
that's
better from L.A. to Denver.
I've actually done that. I need a website quickly, Sarah.
BottomlinePersonal.com.
They're the best. Sarah, good job today. Come back soon.
Thanks so much, Jim.
Sarah Heiner, ladies and gentlemen. I told you we'd get smarter when Sarah joined us, and so we did. I'm Jim Blessing, and I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.